buddy Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. John, I will take this kind of weather. 90 degrees for the high in going on mid-June. That's very uncharacteristic of Tucson, Arizona on this Monday, June 11th, 2023. I know the very hot weather is still to come, but we have delayed it quite a bit this year. Our show in our 13th year, 12 and a half years now with the radio program on KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have, we're broadcasting from the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio. Our worldwide live listening is on my website, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our Monday one-on-one presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985, Mo and the team over there specialize in custom frame mirrors. They've got some beautiful mirrors. We've got a couple in the Buckmaster house. Art for your walls, that's where Mo comes in. He's a great photographer. And, of course, they do wonderful museum-quality picture framing. And if you want Mo to come out and make sure the stuff goes up on the wall the right way, where you want it, he makes house calls. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and at moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one interview is with Austin Wright. Mr. Wright, Chief Communications Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority. Austin Wright brings with him to Tucson over a decade of airline experience, a lot with Southwest Airlines. He oversees the Tucson Airport Authority's marketing and strategic communications department, as well as the air service development team. Austin Wright, welcome to the program, and welcome to TIA and the Tucson Airport Authority.
Thanks. I love this city, and it's nice to be with you today.
Thank you very much. Tucson Airport Authority, 75 years. So big anniversary for you guys.
Yeah, it certainly has been a fun year for celebration for all of us, and we're really proud of the work that the entire team does at the Tucson International Airport, Ryan Airfield. It's just such a great place to work, and we love supporting the community that we serve.
You know, we know about, obviously, Tucson International Airport, but also in the portfolio is Ryan Field. I know you were out there recently. A lot of people that have lived in Tucson, Austin, all their lives, they have no idea what is Ryan Field.
it's a great little training airport, really. It's what we consider our reliever airport. It's great for general aviation traffic. We've got a flight school out there. We do field trips for local schools. It's such a great place to get introduced to aviation, kind of at a slower speed where you can spend some time looking at the planes and learning about air traffic control and the weather patterns. It's just a tiny little airport, and it's a great entry point to see what it's like.
And many don't realize that your footprint, the economic footprint, is really astounding for the Tucson Airport Authority, Austin.
Yeah, it's very big. I mean, we have an $8.3 billion economic impact, and you can attribute that to the airport creating some 45,000 jobs for the community. So that's something we're really, really proud about, and something that resonates with the community is how much we do impact the community and the economic output that we have. So it's huge. The airport means a lot to Tucson and Southern Arizona.
You know, people may be saying, well, 45,000 people don't work at the airport, but their land that is being leased, that's the piece I think that's been missing in this story, Austin. Tell us about the footprint of the Airport Authority.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the surprising piece, is how much land the airport really has. And there's a lot of different businesses that are on Tucson airport land. You think about Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, Raytheon. You think about all the people that are working on our big projects that we have, like our airfield safety enhancement project. There are so many different avenues that people's work is really dependent on the functionality of the airport. So you could look at it from so many different lenses, but we're so proud of the partnerships we have with really everyone who relies on Tucson.
Did you ever, is there like an acreage? How many acres do you have? I'm sure it's a lot, and that probably goes back to kind of the historic, when we're talking about the 75th anniversary, back in the day, I remember flying in here a long time ago, my first time ever in Tucson, back in the 60s. The airport was really out, away from everything, Austin. You would take, like, Park Avenue back into town, and there was just basically desert. So there's a lot of land out there, isn't there?
There is. I don't know the exact acreage. It's around 8,000 acres, I think.
Wow.
But what we are, the top 10 in the United States in terms of airports with the most land. So that's kind of a fun fact. If you think about all those giant airports, we still mm-hmm. have more land than them. So that's something that we have a lot of work, and we're focused on developing and making that land ready for development as Tucson continues to grow. Because the reality is, you described, you know, the Tucson airport being so far out kind of back
mm-hmm.
in the day.
Back in the day.
Nowadays, we're right in the middle of the action, and that's where the economy is thriving and booming. And there's so many new warehouses and businesses if you drive back by the airport. So we are jumping on the bandwagon, and we're doing everything we can to develop that land and continue to elevate that $8.3 billion number to be an even bigger economic player for this community.
Did you say Mitsubishi has an operation?
Yeah, Mitsubishi Heavy Industries. Mm-hmm. They work on, you know, aircraft
sure.
mechanics.
Uh-huh.
And actually, we've got a great partnership with the Pima Community College, is doing a lot of really great work on the land of the airport with their new training center mm-hmm. for mechanics, and they're working really hard to make sure that when they graduate from Pima Community College, that there's aviation jobs available for them in Tucson, and Mitsubishi Heavy Industries is a big factor.
And the airport receives some a federal grant. This is part of, a $100 million effort to reduce aviation incidents nationwide. And so Tucson was among 12 airports that the Federal Aviation Administration awarded funding as part of, I think it's called, Austin, a runway incursion mitigation program.
Yeah, that's correct. That's the ACE project, which is Airfield Safety Enhancement. And, you know, I can assure you the airport is safe, so there's no concerns there. But this is just updating to make sure that the current safety standards that continue to change with airports in the United States are met. And obviously, they change with time. So we're just making sure that everything's updated and kind of copacetic. Really, what we're doing is we're spacing out a general aviation runway a little bit further from the main use runway. We're putting in a new taxiway to make it more convenient for some of our other business partners on the other side of the airfield to access runways. It's just bringing it up to 2023. It's time for some maintenance. But yeah, we are thankful for the grants that we get. And we actually just found out that we have $33 million coming for next year, so we can continue the work on this project, which we still have several 4 or 5 years to go until it's complete.
People always remark, it seems like wherever you fly in the United States, when you fly into an airport, there's something going on construction-wise with a terminal or with the runway itself. I guess that's a good thing, Austin, right? Because it really shows that this is an industry that you are associated with that is very robust.
100%. And I think that you can already see, you know, that we're putting our sights onto the future, and it's something that we're starting to explore what's next after the airfield safety program. And that for us, we hope, is some extent a terminal modernization program. And I think it really speaks to the community and how much we're growing and business is booming in Tucson. And we're thankful that people turn to our airport as their transit hub, and that means a lot to us. And the construction that everyone sees going on at the airport is a testament to how well the airport is performing right now.
When we continue with Austin Wright, we're going to zero in on getting more air service. We'll talk a little bit about what type of air service we do have right now. There's a lot to talk about. What's been going on at the airport. Austin Wright is our Monday one-on-one guest, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's located right by Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and actually now another well-known kind of business has just gone in right next to Moe. It's called Monsoon Chocolate. So I guess when I go visit Mo like I did Saturday, I'll have to make a stop over at Monsoon Chocolate. Just gave them a free plug. There you go. We'll take a break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Monday. Be right back with Austin Wright. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We do our telephone interviews. That is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. You know, speaking of green things, they do such a great job this time of year, and really any time of year, but we're getting close. Yeah, it's going to get really hot, but now's the time to put some great color in your gardening because, you know, got my fingers crossed, that the summer rains, also known as monsoon, is just around the corner. Great time to go out to Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. GreenThingsAZ.com. The sister business is ZocaloVillage.com. All that beautiful Talavera pottery from Mexico. Our Monday one-on-one is presented by our friends over at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We're continuing now to talk about, if you've been listening to my show, you know I am an avid traveler. And I love to fly out of Tucson International Airport. It's a great airport, convenient, and it's just easy rather than going up the road. Austin Wright is with us, Chief Communications Officer for the Tucson Airport Authority, and of course their portfolio is the Tucson International Airport, known as TUS, and Ryan Field. Okay, Austin, let's talk about air service development. That's an area that you have close to your heart. Let's begin with good news about Alaska Airlines. What are our friends at Alaska planning?
You're right. This is good news. So Alaska Airlines is starting new nonstop service in December to Orange County, California.
Good.
Which is another nonstop destination, which we are working so hard to get as many nonstops as we can for this community. But it's great. I mean, if you like to go to the beach or go to Disneyland, it's going to be really easy now to go right from TUS.
So, Austin, this will be a daily departure?
Yep, and it starts right before the holidays. Their schedules go out right now until April, and we're on that schedule all the way through. It's going to run on an Embraer 175, which is kind of a mid-sized jet, nothing too small. It's not the biggest. But it's such a positive for us.
Oh,
we're so excited.
Did you say it's a 175?
Yep, 175.
I like that aircraft.
I do too. Two and two configuration.
Very
so
nice.
You can sit with your travel companion and be comfortable.
No,
and,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's good news.
I agree. That's one of my favorites.
All right. How about your old buddies over at Southwest? What's going on? They've been a long-time partner at TIA.
Yeah, we've got a great relationship with Southwest in Tucson, and you know, we've got more exciting news as they just announced that they're going to be starting a nonstop flight for the peak holiday season between Tucson and Dallas Love Field, which is another notch for us, and it makes it really easy. There's a lot of people that also use that flight to connect eastbound,
mm-hmm.
so it's another great connecting point if you have to go east, but We're so excited. Southwest is going to be operating at their peak holiday schedule, 15 flights a day.
Wow.
And just speaks to really the rebound we're having at TUS after the pandemic, and business is thriving.
And business is thriving. So we're kind of back to the numbers looking at pre-pandemic. 2019 was the best year ever for the airline industry, and everything I'm reading, Austin Wright, is we're now at or surpassing that in the business.
Yes. We had a really, really positive spring travel season. Our performance numbers were 98-99% of those 2019 numbers. What really helped us is that the airlines are putting bigger aircrafts on the routes into Tucson, which means that even if we have a few less flights than we had in 2019, we're able to meet the same number threshold because of those bigger planes. But with these new additional flights with Dallas Love Field and Orange County, we'll certainly surpass that at any moment. So I think it's safe to say we are just about fully recovered.
A lot of people love Delta Airlines. They have, I think, two nonstops daily into Atlanta, which once you get into Atlanta, you can go anywhere in the world, right?
Yep. They're going to Atlanta, Salt Lake City, Los Angeles, Seattle, all out of TUS.
And the Seattle service has been very popular. Of course, that used to be just solely Alaska going nonstop up to Seattle, but Delta's joined in, and that's going well.
Yeah, they just announced that they're going to upgrade their aircraft type, so they're going to be flying a bigger 737-800 series on that route. And what's great about a connection in Seattle, specifically if you're flying on Delta, is their connectivity to Asia flights. So if you're heading, you know, over the ocean, you're going to Asia, Seattle's a great connecting point, and it's a little easier, I think, in my opinion. LAX can be a big airport, especially if you have to switch terminals, and Seattle really is a pretty easy transit point.
All right. What about American? They're one of Tucson's longest partners. They remain one of your big, really one of the big in and out carriers here.
Yeah, American's our biggest carrier. We're so thankful for their partnership. They continue to invest in growing their operation and their fleet size in Tucson. They've got big aircrafts flying on a lot of routes. They go to Dallas. They go to Phoenix. They go to Los Angeles. They do a lot of business with us in Tucson. They are our largest airline, and we have a great relationship with American, so we're so happy they're here.
So, Austin Wright, overall, the nonstop picture is improving. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's really exciting, actually. That's something in air service our team works really hard to have great relationships with the airlines. We try really hard to be a great business partner to those that are flying in Tucson. And I think that as we see these new cities coming onto the route map for us, it really speaks to the partnership, and it speaks to how much the city is booming. But more importantly, it speaks to the fact that the community is using our airport when they travel. And that's how we get air service. So the fact that people are choosing to fly out of TUS is how we will continue to get more flights for this community.
Yeah, because the let's talk a little bit about that. When you go to promote an air, you know, a new maybe a new air service or bring a new airline in, they're going to look at numbers. This is a business, and they're going to look at the numbers, right?
That's correct. That's all they really look at. Yeah. So we appreciate that even if there isn't a nonstop right now, if you're trying to go, you know, to one of our unserved nonstop cities, if you're willing to still fly out of TUS and make that connection, we see that data, and the data is what the airlines look at to determine what the next city is going to be. And really, that speaks volumes to how we got the Orange County flight. If someone was willing, you know, to make a connection to go through Vegas, maybe, or, you know, they look at that. We call it P-dues.
P-dues?
Yep. So passengers departing each way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the numbers are how we win. So using the airport's huge.
And so, of course, we have the big gorilla in the room up in Phoenix, but I always tell people, do you really want to do the, think about your time, the whole I-10 thing, then you got to park in Phoenix, and then you go in, and if it's 2 hours before a flight, you're talking a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly realize the reality that Phoenix is a massive hub airport,
mm-hmm.
But we also have an ease of use at the Tucson airport that we think brings a lot of value to our customers. And I love the Tucson airport. I think that it does such a great job of making people feel like they're in southern Arizona. The security lines are shorter. The check-in lines are shorter. The parking is convenient. The people are nice. The facilities are clean. We could go on and on and on. And at the end of the day, we have a great relationship with the Phoenix airport, and we collaborate, you know, as much as we can to be good partners with them as well. But we really want our community to use our airport, and we try to make it the best possible airport so it's convenient.
Food service is looking really vastly improved at your airport. You've got Barrio Brewing, but you've got some characteristic area dining.
Yeah, and that's something we're trying to get back in terms of, you know, rebounding after the pandemic, mm-hmm. is it's just a reality that the food choices, you know, sometimes were hard to come by when you were in an airport that had limited offerings and a very slow time in the industry. And we're back. We've got restaurants that are fully open. We've got Dunkin' Donuts. We've got pizza. We've got Beyond Bread, Barrio Brewing. I mean, we could go on and on. There's places to eat and drink and enjoy your time in the airport if you get there a little early. And that's another thing. If we're thinking comparisons between the two airports, something great about the Tucson airport is you don't have to get there, you know, 3 hours before your flight like you may have to in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy, and you actually have time to get through security pretty quick and grab a drink or a bite to eat before your flight. But our food venues are, you're right, they have expanded. We continue to look at all the offerings, but they're fully open and we're ready to serve our customers.
How about parking? Have you made some improvements in that area?
I think the parking's always been great. I think mm-hmm. that it's so easy to park right outside the doors and walk right in. And if you look at the price point, we're significantly cheaper than parking in a similar location in the Phoenix airport. But our parking, in my opinion, is some of the best in the nation.
So what is on your radar screen? You're working real hard to improve the air service. Can you share with our listeners a little bit about areas that you would like to get into?
Well, I think when you're working...
Without divulging any trade secrets.
Yeah, of course. And I think when you're working in air service, any new route is a win.
Sure.
But it's no secret that this community really wants a flight to New York City. It's no
yes.
secret they would love a flight to Florida, whether it's Tampa or Miami.
Honolulu. Nonstop Tucson
yep.
would be a huge win.
Yeah, we certainly look at all the data, and we use that data like we just talked about to go out there. And our top markets that people fly to that we don't have nonstops to right now, truthfully, are New York
mm-hmm.
and Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And there's some legislation that prohibits the perimeter rule from having a flight between Tucson and Washington, D.C. But I'll tell you, our team who deals with our legislative efforts is out there in Washington working on seeing what we can do to work with some legislation on the perimeter rule to try to get those flights to D.C. Because with companies like Raytheon in this community, it's really important that we connect our flying passengers to our nation's capital. So we are hard at work every single day at the Tucson airport to try to get as many flights as we can to get you to where you need to go.
What is the perimeter rule?
Well, you know, I don't know too much about it other than years and years ago, there was some rule that anything outside of 1,200 miles couldn't have new air service out of D.C. if it wasn't already a route.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, there were some exceptions made to it, I think, when John McCain was in the Senate, and that's how Phoenix got a route.
Mm.
So we're working, you know, with our local Congress and senators to see what we can do to try to think about different ways to get around that, because we do think Tucson would be a great market for a D.C. flight.
All right, Austin, let's give everybody your website.
Well, that's a great question.
The Tucson, just go to
Fly TUS.
Fly TUS.
Like Tucson. TUCSON.com.
There you go.
And I'm so used to just going to Google and putting it right in the search bar. That's a great question.
Anybody can get there. Just put in Google Tucson Airport and you will get to TUS. Fly TUS.
FlyTucson.com.
FlyTucson.com.
Yep.
All right.
That was a hard question.
Austin Wright, thank you very much. Appreciate it very much. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. For our Monday one-on-one, today talking about Tucson and air service with Austin Wright, Chief Communications Officer for Tucson Airport Authority. Be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, off and running on a new week. It's time for our monthly interview segment featuring the monthly Scam Alert presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Two of my favorite people in studio, Irene Coppola, who leads up the Better Business Bureau of Tucson, and Denise Alvarez is here, Operations Manager. She could be the Communications Manager because she's a good communicator.
She's
How are
everything.
You?
Good. Thank
she's
you.
Everything.
She's
right?
everything.
She
yes.
wears many. She wears many hats. So, ladies, I know that you'll be sharing some tips about the monsoon season, but first, pretty darn successful annual Torch Awards celebration.
Yes, absolutely. We had our annual Torch Awards for Ethics sponsored by South 32 this past May, and it was a phenomenal night.
Where was your venue?
It was at the Casino del Sol.
Okay.
And our MC was Stephanie Healy from Cox Communications. Our keynote was David Fitzsimmons.
That's always fun with
Fitz.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. We had a large crowd. We celebrated all of our fabulous finalists and, of course, our winners.
And we want to hear about the 2023 Torch Award winners, and they are, Irene.
Yes, absolutely. In our category one, our small business is Felicia's Best Personal Assisting. Our intermediate size business is Ronnie's Handyman and Home Services. Our large business, Snell and Wilmer. Our nonprofit below 1.5 million, Reach for the Stars. Our nonprofit above 1.5 million, Habitat for Humanity. And our Spark Award goes to Katrina Calderon with Regal Fierce Media.
The Spark Award, that's been kind of relatively new, Irene, right?
Yes.
What's that about?
So that is our millennial owned entrepreneur. Business. And so in this case, we had Ms. Calderon, and she is heading up Regal Fierce Media quite strongly in the community. So, yeah.
You know, Denise, we talk about this with the scammers. The scammers, you know, they look at the calendar and they think, oh my goodness, it's the summer rainy season, aka monsoon. And they're thinking, you know, maybe we can scam some people, like out of, maybe you can get a, we're roofers, but the roofers never show up or whatever. It is scam time of the year, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. We were saying this just the other day, how scammers take, you know, every opportunity to try to take money from their victims. And so, yes, with, you know, aftermath from the monsoon, you know, you have the fallen trees, damage to the roof, but you also have the scammers, and they come out and try to take your money.
And that's where you and your team, Denise and Irene, are so helpful. The BBB is here to help. Reliable, unbiased, and free information. So now, let's get into some of these red flags, Denise.
Yeah, so what we've heard is that a lot of people come knocking on your door after a monsoon storm, and they tell you, you know, I've been working down the street with your neighbor. We have material left over. Would you like to buy the material and we would do the labor?
What?
Yes. And so a lot of people, you know, we're very trusting. Obviously, if they did work for the neighbor, they're good enough to do work for you. So you hire them on the spot. But you haven't really even checked if they are actually doing the work with them. Or you haven't checked them out at BBB.org to find out what their rating is, you know, what their track record is in the community.
Well, they could show up at your door and, like, maybe they walked up to your door. You don't see a truck full of a lot of wood, Irene.
Mm-hmm.
You know where I'm going with this.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're saying, you know, we were just about four doors down,
right,
and the truck's up the street,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, we've got all this material. Could you give me some money right now and we'll make this happen?
You know what? Don't do it. I can't express that enough. You know, really take the time to just, you know, pause and say, actually, no, thank you, because I need to do my homework. It is so important. I mean, buying a home is one of the biggest investments of your life. So really be careful on how you are fixing up this home. Because even though it's in a time of a disarray, because I mean, I've been in that situation where our neighborhood was literally flooded.
Yeah.
So I've been in that situation and it took everything for me to say, okay, no, you know what? We need to like take our time. We need to find out exactly what needs to be taken care of before we just, you know, sign on the dotted line and go with the first person that knocks on our door.
And Denise, they do. Sometimes they're going to shove some paperwork in your face and they'll say, sign here. And you sign, you could be in big trouble.
Absolutely. Yes. And a lot of them are now carrying iPads or they have a contract on their phone. So be sure not to sign anything that you haven't read over. You know, if they are very insisting that you let them know, hey, I just need this in writing so I can go over it before I sign anything. So don't be afraid, like Irene said, to ask questions. Just pause and say, yeah, this doesn't make sense. Or if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. And, you know, go to BBB.org, the scam tracker. That's where we keep all of that information. And maybe your neighbor reported it. And now you can look it up by zip code and see that it's a scam that's going around.
And hoping, they're kind of hoping that the residents won't notice. Maybe they've done some low quality work in the neighborhood.
Right, absolutely.
They're making the rounds.
Yes, we've heard, just stories where people would go up there and kind of just stomp around and make it sound like they're doing something up there. But in reality, the next time it rained, you know, there was the roof was not repaired accordingly. And so you want to make sure that, again, you do your homework, you ask questions, you know, maybe go out there and kind of take a look and see if what they're doing is, you know, they're doing what they said they would do.
Irene, is a good idea to get three? Is that kind of a good point, three kind of estimates?
Absolutely. You know, that way you can get just a roundabout gauge for the work and for the dollar amount that you're looking for. And you know, I have to say this, at the Torch Awards event, our sponsor, our title sponsor, Pat Reisner, he said something that really resonated, and it was important. He said, you know what? I needed work on my home. Mm-hmm. And what did I do? Is I went to the winners of the past Torch Awards. And where did he find that?
That makes sense.
Yeah, he found that on BBB.org.
Yeah.
So that is so important. You know, there's a reason these businesses were nominated, and that's because they do great work.
Yeah, it's really a good point. I mean, that's a real simple recommendation. If they were good enough for the BBB and they won the Torch Award, why not, right?
Absolutely.
So what else, Denise, can you recommend consumers if they have damage after a storm?
So we have a monsoon recovery checklist. You know, assess the damage. Again, do your homework. Don't panic. I know it's a very frustrating
time. Yeah, you want to get it done immediately.
Absolutely. And so assess the damage. Contact your insurance company. Find out how the process works, because a lot of the times they might send a check to the company directly. They might send it to you. So you just want to ask those questions. Research your company's BBB.org. We have complaints listed, customer reviews, positive and negative if they have any. Check the licensing, the ROC for contractors. Make sure they have a license to do
Registrar
work on
of Contractors.
Correct.
ROC.
Check if they have any, you know, complaints with them. And then get everything in writing. Again, have a printed copy. Don't just sign an iPad or an iPhone.
Okay, Irene, what about your mixers? Are you still doing them?
We are. Fourth Thursday of every month. This month is going to be at Illegal Pete's on University.
What goes on at these mixers? What can they expect?
You know, lots of great networking.
Uh-huh.
We have about...
Bring plenty of business cards,
please,
right?
Please, yeah. Absolutely. Bring plenty of business cards. And last month, we had a really great photo booth, lots of great engagement, interaction with the other businesses. So it's a great time.
All right. And more information always available at bbb.org/scam tracker on the scams. But there's all sorts of information, including about the mixer information and the winners of the Torch Awards. So on and on it goes. A lot of good. It's a good point, start there, a good clearinghouse, bbb.org. And again, it's Illegal Pete's is the place, June 23rd, Main Gate Square. That's over at University Boulevard. That will be from 5 to 7. It is open to all businesses. Irene and Denise, thank you very much. We'll see you next month.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. That's going to be, again, June 23rd for that mixer. The Buckmaster Show continues on this Monday afternoon. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes a terrific getaway. Boy, the weather has been so delightful this time of year. Normally it's a lot hotter, and it's even cooler than it is in Tucson over in Silver City because of that elevation of a mile high, about 5,500 feet. Start your planning now by visiting Southwest New Mexico, just spelled out, .org. There you'll find all sorts of wonderful recreation ideas, great places to stay and dine. Only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. We send so many of our listeners over there, and everybody says the same thing. Had no idea, Bill. Thanks for the information. We had a great trip, great getaway over to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. The independent study team charged by NASA with investigating the ever-changing acronym once simply referred to as UFOs held a public meeting last week to lay out its progress toward its final report expected this summer. Let's bring in now Dr. Mark Sykes, the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which for more than 50 years has been a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, how are you, sir?
I'm just fine, Bill. Good to be on.
Well, so we've got NASA opening up the UFO study. Should we bring up the music now of the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, I'm afraid not. You know, like a lot of these studies, it's not really going to go anywhere because the panel is actually charged not to resolve the nature of these events, if we can call that, but to give NASA a roadmap for future analyses and their main conclusion, because they've been restricted to unclassified civilian observations of unusual aerial vehicle or the sightings. You know, that's the most unconstrained stuff, and so it's not a surprise that their main conclusion at their meeting at the beginning of the month was that we need higher quality data. It's like, okay, yes, of course. That's a very good, you know, we need them to land on our front lawn so that we have, you know, three cameras all set up. But, yeah, I mean, the sad thing, Bill, is that this is a really interesting subject, and it's something that the public is very interested in.
Yes.
You know, for many decades, right? Because what would be more exciting? And you know, people ask me about, you know, aren't you scientists covering this stuff up? It's like, no. You know, if we could prove the existence of alien spacecraft, let me tell you what it would do for my funding. It would be through the roof. But anyway, so apart from that, you know, it's a great opportunity to take. They should have been declassifying as much of the military stuff, where they have a lot of information about how fast were they moving, what direction were they looking at, what kind of camera system. There's a lot of precision information that's different than somebody on their cell phone pointing in some random direction that you don't know, you know, when or where or what. And then one could sit down and explain to people, okay, we have an interesting observation. How do we extract information to find out what we can say about it? You know, not that we're going to come to any fantastic conclusion, but you could give people a sense of the steps of doing the you know, parallactic calculations, the speed estimations, the elevate, you know, the brightness, the size, and to what extent we can actually constrain it with the data that we have. It's a wonderful means of teaching the public about just the process of science. And yeah, leave alien spacecraft on the table as a possible outcome, because in science we don't presume the solution. We say, okay, let's figure out what works and what doesn't.
So. Yeah, the UFO, there is a change in the acronym now. The military is referring to this as UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomena. But there is really, as you point out, there's interesting stuff out there, including some unclassified military footage that was taken in the past two decades of naval aviator encounters, including one off the coast of Florida. The public is mm-hmm. really interested, as you point out, Mark Sykes, in this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why not take those observations which were put on the news, you know, the really interesting, like, object moving along above the ocean or whatever, and give the data to the scientists so that they can go through the exercise to show that, oh, gee whiz, it's United Flight 4358. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, but how do you come to that conclusion? And because it's not just either boring, you know, airline or alien spacecraft. It could be phenomena that we haven't seen before. And I'm reminded of a gentleman down at, when I gave a public lecture down at Green Valley years ago, who was talking about an experience he had in a PT boat in the South Pacific in World War II, where he heard something that sounded like a train.
Wow.
And he looked up, and here was this rock flying across the sky. Now, It wasn't a fireball, because when something's a fireball, it's bright, it's obvious, your eye gets attracted to it. But if it's just a rock flying across the ground, you don't necessarily notice this kind of stuff.
No.
But could it be possible that we do have low velocity asteroidal type objects coming into the Earth's atmosphere and going over the horizon, either crashing or leaving or whatever? But it's something that we certainly have no other observations of that kind of footage. So there may be phenomena like that, which are interesting and unusual that we haven't seen before. And see, we leave the door open for all that stuff.
Well, I agree with you. They do need to create a scientific plan, Mark Sykes, on how to assess future sightings. That would only make sense.
Hey, how about assessing past sightings?
Yeah.
Because they've been limited to unclassified civilian observations. That's kind of the garbage dump of observations. There are much better, much more highly quality observations that have been taken by military assets. Some of which, like we were saying, has been on TV. And so let's give the scientists that data so that they can talk about, okay, what can we say about this? It would be very interesting. But they're just pushing it off so they don't have to say nothing about nothing. But they can demonstrate that they're going through an exercise, which, when you're a bureaucracy, that's the important thing.
All right, Mark Sykes, since we spoke about a month ago, China confirmed now there is a timeline. They do want to crew a moon landing, and we now know when they want to do it.
Yeah, 2030.
Hmm.
You know, which is a little later than what we're planning, which is 2025, which I seriously would doubt will happen for Artemis 3. And the Chinese have been going gangbusters in terms of their space program. They've had a spectacular robotic space program exploring the moon, now Mars. They've built their own space station, the first component of which went up in 2021. And the last component, at least in the nominal plan, will be launched in 2024. They've demonstrated real technical capabilities in all of these endeavors, and in terms of going to the moon, their intended desire is stated desire is to establish an international facility, the South Pole of the Moon. And so that would be really nice. We talk about things, but in their case, I would hope that instead of just putting down a box and say we did it, that if they really want a working facility, then they need to understand about how to make it self-sustainable in order to keep it from just being too expensive to run, because you have to haul everything up from the surface of the Earth. So I think that it's going to be very interesting. They've been doing, like I said, a very good job so far. I've met with a bunch of the people involved with their space exploration program over in Beijing, and they're young, they're very excited, they're very proud of what they're accomplishing, and they have every right to be.
Yeah, so this could harken back to the space race of the United States and Soviet Union. We could have a U.S.-China space race.
Well, for us, we're just repeating what we did in the past. For China, it's a demonstration of a new capability. I think that the people who are going to benefit from any kind of a space activity are those that have long-term objectives, as opposed to just putting on a show and waving a flag. So, and if both people are doing that, well, then okay, fine. But I think that if to the extent that we go up there with the intention of staying and figuring out how to do so cost effectively and with an idea of some permanency involved, then I think there's some real benefits to be had.
All right.
That otherwise we just spend money.
Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute. It's psi.edu for more information. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Off and running on a brand new, spanking new week in June. Hope everybody has a great afternoon. On behalf of John Engineering and producing the program, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Good day, everybody.